Our third case for this morning is Rush University Medical Center against the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Mr. Kamenschein.
Thank you. May it please the Court, with me today is Miranda Jones, Assistant Counsel for HHS. Your Honors, this is a unique case that arises under the Supreme Court's Brand X decision. It's unique in the sense that Congress specifically instructed the Secretary of HHS to define the key statutory term, which is non-patient care activities. Given that framework, it's fair, we're suggesting, to presume that had this court in University of Chicago intended to bar the Secretary from later defining that term in a way that was contrary to that decision, the court would have said so more specifically, and it didn't.
So the language in the University of Chicago Medical Center case seems to me to flop back and forth. There are places in which it seems to say we've read the Affordable Care Act, and it seems pretty clear to us that these pure research activities are part of the non-patient care activities. And then there are other places where it says, as you've cited frequently in your brief, the better view or the more persuasive, you know, the squishier language that might leave some room for later regulations under Brand
right.
X.
Right, that's exactly right, Your Honor, and that's why the hospital here says there are no magic words, and we agree with that, that there's language there on both sides, and one thing you didn't mention was the court's reference to common parlance, and as we've explained, we think this is a term of art when the Secretary is assigned the task of defining it. And that's why we're suggesting that the case is unique, because where this mission is assigned to the Secretary specifically to define a term, and the opinion in University of Chicago never even mentions that defining task, that the fairer reading of that decision is that the court certainly agreed with the hospital there that pure research fell within a compensable non-patient care activity, but the court didn't intend to shut the door on the Secretary from performing that defining function, and particularly given the history of this controversy about research, that research was sort of at the forefront of concern, that it was reasonable to think that the Secretary acting under that directive was going to take a look at research and come to a reasoned conclusion about whether research was covered or not.
So let me ask you this. The hospital is saying, you know, there's a universe out here, and the universe is divided into only two parts, patient care activities and non-patient care activities. And I want to know what you think about that, and let me throw out another interpretation. If you think patient is one word and care activities is another concept, you can have patient care activities and you can have non-patient care activities, but they're all care activities, and so other things like research or lunchtime or other things that residents do might fall into a third category. And I wonder how what's the significance, if there really are only two categories, is there any reason to have categories at all? Because if they equal 100%, then you just have 100%. What's the difference?
Your Honor, I think that's basically the point that was alluded to by Judge Sutton in his opinion in the Henry Ford case. He said, why set the Secretary on a meaningless task if everything is one or the other just as a matter of common parlance? So that means that there are activities which in common parlance would be non-patient care activities, but that what was contemplated here is the Secretary would look at that universe of non-patient care activities, literally common parlance, and figure out which of those really were, should be factored into this proxy formula for indirect costs. And the Secretary did that, and the Secretary drew a line. It was clear, Congress made very clear, that didactic seminars and conferences, which the Secretary previously had wanted to exclude.
Well, that's
exclude.
In the statute, though.
Yes, it is. And Congress made very clear that from
so
now
not,
on you have to count those.
We're not interested in that.
Right, so the statute leaves this odd gap. You know, the statute kind of resolves the problem going forward from 2001 and has the no inference clause that the University
right.
of Chicago case didn't find very helpful.
Right, and I think, you know, as this court pointed out in University of Chicago, there is no legislative history that would illuminate this. We're sort of stuck with the language here, and we pointed out at that time, just by way of background, that the provision here resulted from basically a negotiation between HHS and the Association of American Medical Colleges. It was put in the House bill, and that's it. So what this legislation really reflects is that compromise.
Not uncommon, I would
yeah,
say.
Between those two forces. Yeah.
Right. So we are at this point actually in this Brand X situation, and it seems to me we can either say that the earlier decision that this court rendered would govern if the language of the statute is clear enough that research activities do belong in the non-patient care activities box. Or we can go the Sixth Circuit route and say, well, actually, this is a different situation now, as you argue, now that the Secretary has
right.
taken action.
And I think we should emphasize that, as the Sixth Circuit said, when the Sixth Circuit reasoned somewhat differently than this court, looking at the statute, but the opinion said, you know, reasonable people can differ. We're not saying the Seventh Circuit was just absolutely wrong in its reading of the statute. Reasonable people can differ. All we're saying is if that's the case, that reasonable people can differ, then under Brand X, the appropriate resolution of the case is to allow the Secretary to go forward with the reservation that, of course, what the Secretary has to do has to meet the test of rationality. It can't be arbitrary and capricious.
Are there other examples of non-patient care activities on which the HHS has ruled?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor.
This is the only one?
This is the only one. And I think, again, if you look at the history of this, the litigation that goes, of course, was litigated at the district court level and then in Rhode Island Hospital before the ACA, this has been sort of a burning question about what to do about pure research and then to some extent these other seminars, conferences, other things that don't really directly pertain to the diagnosis or the treatment of the patient.
Well, the conferences have been taken care of in the statute.
Right.
But it seems to me, I mean, just to make an observation, if you get all the way to the question of rationality and you think that the Secretary is saying Medicare is a program about care of patients, the federal government sponsors many other programs that are about research. You know, go to NIH and get a grant. The residents are often listed as, they're not usually PIs, but they're
right.
co-researchers.
Right.
So the Secretary could be taking the position that Medicare is just a program about patient care, whether it's direct patient care activities or whether it's the seminars and the other kinds
right.
of...
Right. And there's a recognition, of course, that a teaching hospital has extra... costs
right.
that apply.
That they do. No, the big question, and of course the Supreme Court has been churning around a little bit about Brand X as well in the later case, is whether in this situation where this issue's been out there for a while and the Secretary comes along and passes a regulation that's going to be retrospective to this degree, is there any problem?
That's right, and of course the Justice Breyer's plurality opinion
yeah.
in Home Concrete got into
Concrete.
That fairly extensively.
Right. And Justice Scalia doesn't like Brand X at all.
No, he doesn't. And that was the fifth vote in that case.
In Home Concrete.
But we don't think there's anything really in Justice Breyer's opinion there that detracts from what we're presenting here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The court has no further questions.
No, you may save
the rest
of your
time.
Thank
you.
Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Judge Wood. May it please the court. Dan Gibson for Rush University Medical Center.
You have to speak up.
This court decided the precise issue in this appeal when it decided University of Chicago, and it decided that question correctly.
But we didn't, actually, because as the Sixth Circuit pointed out in the Ford case, there was no regulation issued by the Secretary pursuant to the express statutory authority to do that before the court.
That's certainly the Henry Ford Court's analysis, Your Honor.
It's a fact that the regulation wasn't out. That wasn't just a matter of opinion on the part of the Henry Ford Court.
Correct, though we don't believe that that's at all relevant, and I think it's significant. Actually.
Not relevant? I didn't understand.
Well, if
the regulation isn't relevant?
The regulation isn't relevant if the court determined the clear meaning of the statute. Because
you're saying what? The regulation is a misinterpretation.
Correct.
Why is it a misinterpretation?
Well, there are a number of reasons why.
Well, how about one reason? Maybe your best reason.
The best reason is that the language that Congress used in employing patient care activities and non-patient care activities does indeed define the universe of resident activities.
But that's an absurd ruling, actually, because you're just counting up the resident hours, and if it has to be either X or not X, then why not just call it Y? You know, why distinguish it at all? I think that the term care activities is very important here, and some care activities are patient centered, you're walking into the hospital room or you're doing a test on them, and some of them are non-patient, but you know, a seminar in which you discuss how do you treat this disease or what's the most effective way of handling this case. Congress, as Judge Posner said, resolved that problem. It seems to me quite rationally resolved that problem. Other things, as the Sixth Circuit points out, don't seem to fit well into the care activities box.
Well, I think, first, Your Honor, we would draw a different distinction between the two designations.
I know you would, but what about mine? Why isn't there at least room to have another way of looking at it? And if there is room, then there's room for the Secretary to define as well.
Well, two reasons. First is that I don't think it's reasonable to construe them as related to care activities when it wouldn't be plausible for a care activity to occur other than with respect to a particular patient in the first instance.
Oh, I don't think so at all. Not if you include seminars where you might have, as I said, a general discussion, or you might have a morning meeting where particularly difficult cases are put up for general discussion, just the way in law school, you know, we have the case method. It could be the medical profession's equivalent to that, as opposed to research, which, as I said, is funded through an entirely different set of federal government agencies. The Secretary, I think, quite rationally could say, Medicare isn't one of our research programs.
Well, in fact, the Secretary could say that, but she hasn't. I think it's important to note that all of the activities that we're talking about, and as the fact stipulations in this case reveal, all of the research that took place here is a part of the approved medical education program that the Secretary has adopted the accreditation criteria for.
But there is a concept of pure research, which is what we were dealing with in the University of Chicago case, and which, as I understand the issues here, is what we're dealing with here. The medical residents do have a component of their education that deals with pure research, but who funds it?
Well, in this particular case, I can tell you that this is not separately funded research, as
well,
can
might
be the
not
case.
Be. You might have some benefactor, or Rush might support it itself, or it might be under an NIH grant, or it might be... I understand that the funding source doesn't matter, but what is important to us is what does Medicare fund? And the Secretary is instructed by Congress to write a regulation. She does. And now you're telling us that this regulation is so far beyond the scope of the statute that we shouldn't give it force.
Well, I would note also that it's important to recognize that the Secretary, in fact, acknowledges, at least at a semantic level, that research is a non-patient care activity. At page 16 of her principal brief and 13 of her reply brief, she makes the argument that research is a non-patient care activity, but that she retains the authority to simply exclude it on policy grounds, which is very different from the notion of whether or not she has the authority to define it. And the reason why that's critically important is because the statutory mandate that
page
Congress
16?
Wrote of her principal brief.
That's what I'm looking at. The Secretary's regulatory definition of non-patient care activities, that's 15, explicit delegation.
If it pleases the court, I can grab the binder.
Yeah, go please. I don't actually see, at a quick zip through this again,
sorry,
a concession.
14, I apologize. Secretary states at the last sentence before the standard of review, that given that reasonable premise, the Secretary was entitled to differentiate, as she did, between those non-patient care activities, such as didactic conferences and seminars, that seem to benefit current patients, and those, referring to non-patient care activities, such as pure research, which do not. And the reason why this is significant is because Congress mandated in Section 5505B that all time spent in non-patient care activities shall be counted.
I don't think that was so. But subject to, but in Section 5505, there is also the authorization for the Secretary to define the term. If the term needs definition, then it needs definition. You're saying that Congress defined it, actually. Congress left no definitional authority left in the Secretary.
That's not at all the implication of our argument, Judge Wood.
Oh, I think it is.
There are a number of avenues in which the Secretary retains definitional authority, even reading the statute according to its plain terms.
For non-patient care activities?
That's right, Your Honor. The first and most significant is that the term itself, non-patient care activities, exists on two axes. There are activities, and there's the non-patient care qualifier. The Secretary has authority to define resident activities, and she does that substantially by determining what an approved medical education program is. If you look at the accreditation criteria, they will list the various elements and activities that a resident must engage in to advance in that program. She also has the authority to define the activities themselves. Didactic conferences and seminars may come up against other types of conferences and seminars that do not sufficiently meet her definition of didactic or fit formal requirements that she would be able to define.
So what about a first-year medical school class in basic anatomy? Is that a didactic patient care-related activity?
I'm sorry, could you...
A first-year medical school class in basic anatomy.
A course in basic anatomy?
They do take that course in first-year medical school, I'm told.
Certainly, Your Honor. Whether or not is it a non-patient care activity would depend on first whether it's a resident activity as a part of the approved program. Presumably in that example it would be a part of the approved program.
So and even though it has nothing to do with particular patients, maybe it's a resident who's taking a seminar in biochemistry.
I'd also note, Your Honor, just as we're dealing here in the instance of graduate medical education with residents, and so I don't think that
that's why I made it biochemistry, because it seems to me an advanced biochemistry class might be necessary for some specialty fields.
Sure.
But having nothing to do with a particular patient, maybe getting deep into cellular functions and the like.
Well, certainly. I mean, it would not have to do with the care or treatment of a particular patient, but what is significant about that is that the absence of care, an association with the care of the particular patient itself, first, as we argue in the latter part of the brief, is not an adequate distinction between the didactic conferences and seminars. But more importantly, Congress has rejected the foundational premise of the Secretary's argument about what Medicare is meant to reimburse.
But I'm still looking back here. I mean, the plain language of the statute, all the time spent by an intern or resident in approved medical residency program in research activities that are not associated with the treatment or diagnosis of a particular patient as such time and activities are defined by the secretary shall not be counted toward the determination of full-time equivalency. Your biggest task, I think, is to leave enough meaning in the as such time and activities are defined by the secretary to allow us to accept it.
Well, and certainly, Your Honor, and as I noted, I think that she has the authority to define the activities first through what constitutes an approved program.
But you think she can't exclude anything that's a non-patient care activity, even though this says she can?
I don't think that's what it says, Your Honor. It says that she must count all time spent in non-patient care activities. Now, her response
actually not quite what it says. It says research activities not associated with the treatment or diagnosis of a particular patient as such time and activities are defined by the secretary. It doesn't say she has to include anything, actually, other than the didactic, that's a different part of the statute, the didactic conferences.
And that provision, that secondary provision, is perfectly consistent with the plain meaning of the first one, which says that she has the authority to define non-patient care activities, because it says she does have the authority to define what appropriately is research. What she doesn't have the authority to do is say, look, we all agree that these residents were engaged in research rotations that were part of the approved program.
But this is a negative statement. You don't count things that are not associated with the treatment or diagnosis of a particular patient as this is defined by the secretary. So obviously there are gray areas here. And as soon as you get gray areas, then the secretary does have some authority.
That provision, Your Honor, is the provision that applies only from 2001 forward, and it's talking specifically about the so-called pure research.
Right, but doesn't that shed some light on what Congress is talking about in the statute as a whole?
Well, we think the statute as a whole sheds a great deal of light, and as we argue in the brief, the Rosello presumption would indicate that the exclusion of research in 5505A in a perfectly parallel section would further imply that research is understood to be a non-patient care activity. But at the end of the day, the question becomes non-patient care activities, to the extent that it has a definition, which we believe that the statute makes clear that it does, and it exists in a world in which there are two kinds of resident activities. Does the Secretary's authority to define those activities grant her the power to exclude on policy grounds, which we believe that Congress explicitly rejected precisely by changing the Medicare statute, to say you must count non-patient care activities, despite that being your practice up to this point? Or does she have to simply say, my authority is to define those activities, to say these are what residents...
Well, drawing a line between things that relate to particular patients and things that are just so general that they aren't particularly focused on patients.
Well, that's certainly her...
Doing mouse research in the lab to see if a particular drug is going to be useful.
Well, that's certainly her position, and we don't concede that research is any less connected to the care of patients than our didactic conferences.
Even if you're at the mouse stage and you haven't gotten even to phase one trials?
If the didactic conference and seminars also spoke about the mouse stage.
But they wouldn't be. I mean, I'm not sure.
What does it mean when it says in the statute, it says as such time and activities are defined by the secretary? What does it mean for the secretary to be defining time?
I think the best example, Judge Posner, is maybe one of the sites that we list in the brief in the Federal Register from the 2006 comment period. The Secretary laid down a rule that said if 100% of a resident's time is scheduled for didactic activities, it needs to be labeled as a non-patient care day. If it's partially scheduled for didactic activities and partially scheduled for clinical patient activities, then it counts as a patient care day. That's a way in which the Secretary defined how time spent would be counted by dictating.
And what is the line you would draw between research activities that are not associated with treatment or diagnosis of a particular patient and activities that are associated with treatment or diagnosis of a particular patient? Now, the Secretary gets to define that line.
Correct, Your Honor.
So is that a medical type of definition that in Judge Wood's mouse case, it's not associated with the treatment or diagnosis of a particular patient? Maybe this, member of the Rush faculty doesn't have a patient. It's just just interested in mice, but he hopes that eventually, you know, what he discovers about mice will be usable for treating patients, but he doesn't have patients now.
Judge Posner, I would submit that any of the activities that are part of the approved program that the resident is required to engage in has
but
at least...
Then you're taking away this statement, are not associated with the treatment or diagnosis for a particular patient. That suggests a much narrower focus than all research.
And certainly we would concede, as we did at the beginning, that the Secretary's definitional authority includes the authority to define the activities themselves. But to suggest that she has the authority to exclude the activities based on her policy judgment. And I would note that the court is emphasizing the not associated...
Well, wait, I don't understand. The definition would presumably be guided by policy.
Certainly would be guided by policy, but the question is, does the fact that research is unequivocally a non-patient care activity that residents are required to engage in as a part of approved programs that the Secretary has designated...
But there's nothing here about approved programs.
That's the rubric under which all resident activities are taking place, Your Honor. There's a
yeah,
distinction...
But in this provision... But surely there are approved activities that are not associated with the treatment or diagnosis of a particular patient.
Yes, and those are non-patient care activities which Congress has mandated the time spent in shall be counted. And if the Secretary has the authority to exclude them on those policy grounds, not
but
just to define the term...
shall not be counted.
They're not supposed to be counted. I think you're turning an affirmative or a negative into an affirmative. This gets back to the world is composed of two and only two things, patient care activities, non-patient care activities, and they all have to be covered, which leaves the statute just so many words.
It's not that the world is composed of only two categories. It's that the resident activities are composed of two categories. The qualifier in the second portion...
What about lunch? What about donning and doffing clothes?
Those are great examples, Your Honor, because they illustrate
good,
that those are not resident activities. Those wouldn't be considered resident activities, presumably, by the Secretary. But it doesn't make them not non-patient care activities. It simply makes them not resident activities. It doesn't mean that she has to count all the time that a resident spends doing their hair. It means that when there's an activity that a resident engages in and as a required component of her program, as she has stipulated all of these rotations were,
okay.
Congress has mandated that she count that time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Kamenschein?
I really don't have anything specific. I think the court understands very well the arguments that we're presenting, but I'd be glad to address any questions that the court may have.
Well, apparently none. Thanks, then.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate your time and that of your colleague. We will take the case under advisement.